He's seen it from all sides. As a cop, as a clergyman, as a candidate, even a professional wrestler. Now he brings you both sides of the issues facing Naples and all of Southwest Florida. This is the Joe Whitehead Show. Call Joe now at 430-2428.
And welcome to the Joe Whitehead Show. We're calling this episode Moral Malaise. Moral Malaise. I'm your guest host, John DePrisco. Fear not, Joe will be calling in later, so we will be hearing from him. We are live and armed, that's right, armed with truth, intelligence, and logic, and Florida State Statute 790. We do take your calls live. You can reach us at 430-2428. That's 239-430-2428. We do have some call-in guests, and like I said, Joe Whitehead will be joining us. Also later in the show, Doug Rankin. And in studio with me, I have Charlie Carlisi. He's a teacher at Mason Classical Academy. Now, today's episode is called Moral Malaise, and I'm calling it that because I'm seeing this rapid decline of society and politics, especially in about the last year and a half. And, of course, you can call in 430-2428. You can also listen live, so if you have friends or family outside of the listening area, they can hear us at WGUF989.com. And with that, I'd like to introduce Charles Carlisi. He's a teacher at Mason Classical Academy for high school literature. He's currently trying to get his master's at St. Leo's. Charles, welcome.
Thank you, John. I really appreciate being on the show again, and I look forward to our topic, moral malaise. I think it's a common problem around.
We understand that morality is the rightness and wrongness of actions, but there seems to be some objectivity to that. And what we're seeing, especially in the past year and a half, is a total lack of objectivity where, you know, we can call things right or wrong. And so that's why I wanted to bring it up today. I believe that our culture is decaying. So, you know, we have things like the peaceful riots out in Portland and Seattle.
Yeah.
You have rampant homelessness. I saw it myself when I was out in Seattle. You have violent crime just going through the roof in terms of, you know, percentages and rates, especially in like Chicago, which is supposed to be, you know, the most anti-gun city. Mm-hmm. And they have horrible, horrible murders and violence. You have absolutely blatant shoplifting in front of police officers. I mean, I've seen video where the police officers are told they cannot arrest anyone if it's less than $1,000.
Really?
Yeah. So they're like literally in the shopping store. The police have been called. The officer is standing in the aisle, and the guy is just filling a garbage bag with stuff.
Oh, my goodness.
And the police officer let him walk.
That's just let him walk.
Yeah. And so that's, you know, again, getting back to this whole idea of where is our morality? You have these videos from, like, security cameras of these just, again, blatant assaults right in the middle of the day, in the middle of the street, where somebody just clocks an old woman and walks on. Of course, we have cancel culture, which we could talk for over an hour just on the concept. Mm-hmm. But the concept itself is part of this, you know, moral decay. Then you have, like, Weinstein and Epstein, even Governor Cuomo and Dr. Larry Nassar with, you know, the sexual assaults. Mm-hmm. I mean, just blatant, you know, flat out, you know, especially Dr. Nassar and Governor Cuomo were using their positions, mm-hmm. you know, of power or authority to sexually assault these women. And now we're finding out that even in the Dr. Nassar case, the FBI was complicit in it. Mm-hmm. And the FBI agent was fired. But, you know, it just, again, goes to show you where is our society going. And then if you wanted to get into the political realm of it, you know, we had the totally bogus Mueller investigation. We had two impeachment attempts, you know, on the former president. And it was, again, very obvious from an objective factual point of view that, you know, none of these were going to stick. And, you know, but the people that were instigating it didn't care. You know, you would think that their own conscience and their own morality would say, no, you know, draw the line somewhere. No, they don't. Mm-hmm. And then we have all these various COVID mandates, whether it's federal or state, you know, where even President Biden stated on one of them that, yeah, it's probably unconstitutional, but I'm going to do it anyways. And then the Supreme Court ruled against him, of course. And then so he went to a different agency. You know, now it's OSHA. And he even said it's probably going to be overruled again. Well, you know, if you're saying that, that's telling you that there's a rightness and a wrongness to your action. And, you know, you're doing it anyways. Well, there's that moral relativism again. And then, you know, tragically, we had the Afghanistan debacle where, you know, towards the end of the retreat, you know, we were bolting. You know, we had 13 servicemen members killed in a suicide bomb. And then we went after somebody else. Turns out they weren't ISIS. It was an aid worker, and several of his children were killed by a drone. You know, these things are showing us that the actions and decisions that, you know, those people in authority that are they're making these decisions, you know, have no moral background. They're just, right. You know, they're living the moment. And finally, go ahead.
Well, you know, I wonder what exactly the cause of this is, because it seems like, you know, in some of these cases, we have people who are going after a certain goal, like Weinstein, Epstein, you know, the people who are really morally depraved or are seeking immediate gratification. And not many people would back those actions, right? But then we have other things that, of course, homelessness may not be something that anyone wants to pursue as as a good. But the peaceful riots, I mean, you have people who really think that they are in the moral right, too.
Yeah.
And a lot of people want to support them. So what is that stemming from?
Right. And so, yeah, I think we need to look into maybe what's the moral evolution. And, you know, we could trace it back to, you know, all the way back to the 30s and even the 20s. And you started with eugenics. And then, you know, where they thought they could create a perfect human. And, you know, and they felt morally obligated to do it.
Yeah.
You know, and they made their cases for it. And then you went into things like Marxism and postmodernism and moral relativism, and you know, these things are a cancer on our culture. And then one last thing I had as a list was this whole Milley Pelosi treason. You know, they thought that they were in a position that they could work in the background, and, you know, to heck with the Constitution. You know. And so to me, that's like, why is that not a wake-up call to America? You know, they're blatantly treasonous. And there's no argument. I mean, the facts are stipulated. You know, he called China and said, oh, if Trump ever decided to, you know, push the button, I'll call you first and warn you. I'm like, what? You know. The last time somebody talked that way, I think, were the Rosenbergs, and they were executed for giving the H-bomb to the Soviet Union.
Right.
You know, there's a very real... I don't think it's ever going to happen, but, you know, theoretically, he could be pulled up on a court-martial, and if he's guilty, he could be put before a firing squad. So, you know, but it'll never happen, of course. So, you know, these are just some of the background things that we're looking at that's, you know, influencing the episode of moral malaise. And, you know, we see it in today's society. For example, we have this viral mimicking on TikTok. And I think you had an example.
Right. Well, this idea that if something is becoming more and more popular, then you have to jump on the train now to get the likes, right?
Yeah.
The likes are your currency if you're a TikTok pioneer, as it is. The high schoolers right now, I think maybe it's starting to diminish, but I know in the last couple of weeks, as a teacher, I hear about some some of these viral trends. One of them is called devious lick. Mm-hmm. So I guess what students will do is they will see, you know, a painting on the wall or a urinal or a computer monitor at the school, and they'll videotape it and they'll say, "This looks pretty nice." And there will be some background loop song that's going. And then the scene will shift and that item will be in their house somewhere. And they call it a devious lick, right? And so they try to vandalize the school. I mean, they'll be pulling up floor tiles off the ground and then putting those, you know, in their house or in their closet, whatever, in their bathroom. So, you know, they see it as a, I don't know, some sort of silly prank, but they're really destroying state property, yeah. And then you know, doing it for likes, and then the more people do it, the more likes you get, and that's their currency right now. Yeah. You know,
yeah. In fact, we had a situation like that at a high school. I won't name which one in Collier County, where very similarly on TikTok, they would take a video or short video or a picture of like the soap dispenser in the mm-hmm. bathroom, then they would tear the And then the it would cut to showing the soap dispenser in the toilet. So obviously they did it. I mean, you know, it's not.
Don't they call that performance art?
Yeah, right. So it should be celebrated. And so now, but as a result of that, that high school has to lock the bathrooms. So if you have to go to the bathroom, you have to get a key.
Amazing.
Yeah. So it's locked until it's unlocked, and then you have to lock it again.
Yeah.
So. It's 10:15, and you can always call in at 430-CHAT. That's 239-430-2428. In studio with me is Charles Carlisi, a teacher at Mason Classical Academy. In just a few minutes, Joe will be calling in, so we look forward to that. And so, Charles, you know, we have additional things like on Zoom or other video media, you'll see these teachers where they'll put up blatantly political or personal position posters, and they'll call you on it. They'll say, "Yes, I've put this up." You know, they're talking to the camera all angry, you know, and daring you to say, "Yeah, because, you know, this country is white supremacist or whatever, you know, and I'm taking down the American flag, and, you know, I dare you to come after me."
And that's something that, you know, as when I was a new teacher, you were so careful about what you said in the classroom because you know that you're in a public forum there and that you have to be respectful of that forum and really use it for what it's intended for, which is instructing your audience on whatever your subject area is for that hour, that moment, or that day. And so it's wild that these people, you know, that, again, once everybody's doing it, it's hard to say, oh, you know, that's the wrong thing to do. But really, I mean, it's not the right forum for that behavior. That's a great thing to do. Go ahead, proclaim what you think is right somewhere.
Right.
But in the classroom, I mean, you're getting paid to instruct kids about math, you know? So.
Or medieval literature.
Right. Or in my case, medieval literature, yeah.
So one telltale of this, I think, is the recent spate of liberals, who they call themselves liberal, I'm not labeling them, they call themselves that, and they've left mainstream media to go on to other other alternative media. So you had like Barry Weiss from New York Times, you have Glenn Greenwald, you even have Tulsi Gabbard, and so these are all on, they're on Rumble now instead of, you know, because they got canceled or they just got sick and tired of the cancel
interesting
culture. Yeah. And even Bill Maher, who's, you know, calls himself very leftist, you know, he's had some monologues that are just scathing. You know, he picks on the Democrats, and, you know, I don't hold him as being there for very long. I mean, I know he's on a cable show, but, you know. So I think that kind of tells us that, you know, when they're falling into that, you know, and it's like snowballing.
Yeah.
You know, they're starting to get more and more into the alternate media because they're sick and tired of the one that is cancel culture.
Yeah. Well, I mean, eventually the system is going to start eating itself, right?
Yeah. They'll eat their own.
Yeah.
Yeah. So on the line now is our very own Joe Whitehead. Joe, good morning.
Gentlemen, it's a pleasure to be on with both of you. Thank you for filling in. You're doing a great job hosting in studio for us today. I love the conversation you're having, and I got to tell you something. This all starts at the top.
Yeah.
Leadership in the community, leadership in the country has to demonstrate what they want people to embrace. They have to demonstrate that. And they have to be honest with the public. That's number one. Now, the current occupant of 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, if the truth was stapled to his hind end, he couldn't find it using both hands. This guy, I've never seen anybody just blatantly just say whatever you want to say. He just lies for his own purpose.
Yeah.
And he's doing that about the border. He did that about Afghanistan. He did that about the generals and the chiefs, you know, all of the chiefs of the military with regard to how that withdrawal was to take place. He flat out lied about that. This guy cannot tell the truth. Mm-hmm. Okay. If he had a moral compass at some point, it is now sitting in a giant pile of steaming dog squeeze somewhere because it's not attached to him.
Yeah.
I mean, this guy is unbelievable. And so you look at the condition of the country. Well, he's really a reflection of that. You were talking about these kids and the pranks.
Yeah.
That's a direct result of taking the consequences out of life. See, life is consequence-based. And what I mean by consequence, I mean A produces B as the result. It can be a good result or a bad result. Depends on what the choice is. Okay? Well, when you've got kids who do things like, as Charles said, destroy property, or riot, or, you know, just create acts of violence against others because they think it's fun, and there's no significant consequences, well, guess what? It's going to continue and it's going to get worse. Kids who do a vandalism job at a public building, school, whatever it is. All right, what they're lacking is a good old-fashioned butt whooping.
Yeah.
In fact, everybody talks about ADHD and, you know, all these other labels they put on it, put on everyone. The majority today are suffering from BWDD. It's a butt whooping deprivation disorder. And if we get that back in place, things will change in this country.
Yeah.
Now another point of disgust for me is political language. Political correctness language. Mm-hmm. So I don't think I've ever told you guys this. I've even told our audience this. I used to be a member of the Knights of Columbus. Mm-hmm. And once a year we would go out and we would put on these yellow vests and stand in public usually at crossroads or in front of shopping centers. Mm-hmm. And we would collect donations that we donated through the Knights of Columbus to local charities that supported the well-being of children who were classified as mentally retarded. Mm-hmm. Well, that's a term now. All of a sudden, you can't use this term anymore.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay, it's just like the word midget. You're not supposed to say midget. Why say midget? Okay? There's nothing derogatory about the term mentally retarded. It's descriptive. It's right. Not an insult. It's a description, but we can't use it. Well, it's even infected the Knights of Columbus. So I passed some guys yesterday on the roadway who were out doing that, and I was like, oh, that's really nice. You know, I used to do that. I'm glad to see it happen. It's still going on. But they changed it. They took on the vest the language for the benefit of the mentally retarded, and they put down intellectually challenged.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I'm like, okay, what's wrong with this picture? In other words, we can't call something what it is, and it's not derogatory. I mean, that's a problem that's been brewing for years. And now, one of the icing on the cake problems, our southern border. Oh. It is not a collection of people coming here for a better life who embrace the American values, people who just want in this country to get stuff.
Yeah.
And it's getting worse. It's no longer a process now. You have people coming from other countries who just want to use that as the fast way to get in the country. In other words, they use the border crashing as a way to just skip the process. That's all it is. It's a complete avoidance of process. Well, now it's not just people coming from Mexico. You've got thousands and thousands showing up from the Caribbean, from places like Haiti, Dominican Republic, because they can crash the border and get in by coming to the southern border. That's what that's what we have allowed to take place. So the government's response now is, oh, the news media and private individuals can no longer fly drones in the area so we can document and see what's going on and put it out there on the news outlets. So this is scary, and it's reminiscent of World War II Germany.
Yeah. And getting back to your point about you know, politically correct. I don't know if you've seen this in the federal government, but they're not allowed to say mother anymore. They have to say birthing person.
Really?
Have you seen that? Oh yeah,
I've heard of this. So I heard. So there's no mom and dad. So what do we have in May? Birthing Person's Day.
Yeah, right.
No Mother's Day.
Yeah, you can't call it Mother's Day.
I always heard it satirically. It seemed like people were joking about it.
Oh, we are. Yeah, but it's brutal. Very serious. Yeah, and Joe, again to your point, you know, this bumbling administration. It's like their answer of the day is, you know, they stick their finger in their mouth, wet it, and see which way the wind's blowing, and that's their answer. You know, there's no moral compass.
It is. It's also an issue of protecting this guy who's really about half a step ahead of a zombie.
Yeah.
They're protecting this guy at all costs.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's really what this is about. Because he he's even talking about some firm he worked for was a trucking or some kind of, I don't know, logging company or something. He was talking, oh, yeah, he applied to work there years ago. That was his first job. And the company leadership came forward and said, he never applied there. We don't know anything about him.
Yeah, he claimed he drove a truck, an 18-wheeler.
That's what it was, yeah. He makes these claims, and if any other president had done this, they would be, you know, there'd be impeachment proceedings already underway.
Yeah,
this guy is protected at all costs. And I think it's completely ridiculous. Because what he's allowing to take place in this country is literally destroying this country. He is more of an enemy to this country than some of the enemies that we classify as enemies outside the country. Let's look at his track record with the handling of law enforcement, how he's created this anti-police mindset in America. Mm-hmm. And you know, he's actively promoted for months and months the defunding the police movement along with Kamala Harris. They actively throw. Now they're trying to pretend like, no, that never happened. We didn't.
Yeah. No, and they were, you know, they were bragging about it. You know, they were very public about, you know, they wanted to defund the police. They wouldn't take a vaccine if it was under Trump. You know, they go through all these things. Then all of a sudden, you know, when the facts come out, yeah, they got vaccinated. They're, you know, reversing themselves on defund the police. And, you know, and people aren't calling them out for this. You know, they're hypocrites.
Yeah, don't they call that doublespeak in 1984?
Yeah.
Well, it's, you know, media had really, at the onset of our country, had an important role in a free society. Because one of the things media is supposed to do is be the watchdog for everybody. Mm-hmm. And the media is supposed to be like a referee at a football game. Call things out. Throw the flag. Blow the whistle. But you're supposed to do it as a way of calling everybody out and saying, look, you're off the mark. You've gone off the reservation. What you're doing is against the law, against the Constitution. Mm-hmm. Media today has completely departed from the watchdog status to now lapdog status for the left in this country. The bulk of the media does nothing but protect people like Biden, people like Pelosi, people like AOC, you know, the squad of four. They just simply protect those folks at all costs. And they don't do anything to challenge them in any way to hold them accountable. And so the media now is no longer, you know, I'm talking about the bulk of the mainstream media, has no credibility because they've abandoned their role, which is a very important one, of being the watchdog. They're now the lapdog. They're not the watchdog, they're the lapdog. And without that, you can't have a fully informed society. And for a society to remain free, it's got to be an informed society, not just with dribble and talking points, but with truth and information, facts.
Well, I remember, you know, decades ago, it was the concept of the Walter Cronkite, you know, scenario where, yeah, he was liberal, but you kind of had a trust in him to at least get you the facts. And now they've just totally abandoned that. They're you know, lapdogs for the left. And they're blatant about it. They're even stating that they're activists. Well, that's not the role of journalists.
Well, see, and that's it. We've let that. I don't know where the point was where that departure came in. But I remember when George Bush and Al Gore were running that political contest of 2000. Mm-hmm. Where there was a made up fact sheet about George W. Bush that had to do with his military record that was literally fabricated. It was completely false.
Yeah.
It was faxed to the media, and the media, knowing it was false and knowing the source it came from, was just giving them the They ran with it as fact.
Yeah, that was Dan Rather.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he lost his job over that because...
He did.
Yeah.
He
because
did.
That document, which was supposed to be from, I don't know, the 60s or whatever it was from, was in Times New Roman in a Word document. So, like, it didn't even exist back then.
Someone made it up.
Yeah, it was made up. And, it just,
and so, the fact that, you know, that he even after he had lost employment with CBS at that point, he still stayed viable as a media source, and he still stayed viable in many ways, where if that had happened 20 years prior, that person would be never, they wouldn't have the credibility to go on any media. No one would have them on their media outlet after that because they lost their credibility. So today, credibility is defined as who are you spreading the crap about? If you're spreading the crap about the right person,
right?
Oh, then it's okay and you have credibility. Mm-hmm. And that's the problem. Look at even the cancel culture. I never thought in my lifetime I would be defending Nicki Minaj. But she's correct.
Yeah.
What she stated just a couple of days ago about, look, what we're doing is becoming like what's happening in China. People try to cancel you if they don't agree with what you're saying, and there's a, quote, popular position that if you, you know, veer from that, you're going to get canceled and you're going to get attacked. That's exactly what happened to her, and she pointed that out, and she's right.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah, and then she got Twitter prison for a week or something. Didn't they block her account for a week? Just because
I don't remember what the consequence was for her, but here's what's so ironic about it. Some of her music and videos are disturbingly, I would say, borderline pornographic.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, she plays into with her music, some of the more base instincts of people. She plays into it. Look, her music, you know, totally misogynist men think it's great because it plays into what they're all about, okay? And she never gets called out for that.
Right.
So she steps up and speaks the truth about free speech, and she did state the truth very accurately. And now she's in trouble. Oh, my God, we got a problem here. So, I mean, our culture is backwards. And what does it say in the book of Revelation? The end times are near when down is up is down, right is wrong, and wrong is right. And all those, it was a litany of things are going to be backwards.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And that will usher in the end times. Yeah, I look at what's going on today and I have to say, well, that's kind of what it looks like to me.
Well, I was just telling John before we started, there's this phrase, you know, you see these overly sentimental posters, motivational posters, and a common phrase on it is, to thine own self be true, right? Do what you believe is right. That's really kind of and really do whatever as long as you believe it's right. That's how we end up interpreting that as modern Americans or postmodernists, I believe. But you know, that's from Shakespeare, and the full quote comes from Polonius to his son Laertes, who's about to go to college in France, and he's saying, "Look, you have good morals. If you stick to your morals, if you stick to these virtues that are foundational in your character, then you will be good. You will be looked upon as a good man, and you will be fine wherever you are. So don't forget who you are." That's really what he's saying. He's not saying, oh, as long as you do whatever you want, my son, you'll be fine, right? He's really saying, stick to what I've taught you. Stick to what you already know. And you will make a good way in the world. And
no, I think that's good advice for every generation.
Right, of course.
But see, we have been in decay, and I like the terms you guys are using. You know, we've been in decay for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
What's the absolute starting point of that? I can't tell you exactly where it started, but I can tell you what some of the factors are. One of them, this is going to blow your mind, but one of the things that has contributed to the decay of our culture is the launching of the free lunch program in school.
Mm.
Now, I know there's somebody listening out there going, oh my God, is he so cruel? He wants children to starve at school. You know, I mean, there's somebody out there saying that. Right? I said, no, that's nonsense. Here's what we've done. Who's responsible? Who used to be responsible to feed their kids? Who's responsible?
The parents.
Like, bingo. Okay, parents are responsible to feed their kids. Okay? So what we've done is we've taken institutions like school, And we've said, you know what, parents, we're going to help you out here. We're going to take a little bit of your responsibility. We're going to feed your kids. We're going to give them lunch. Make sure they all have lunch at school. We're going to help you out. And it's sold as, you know, helping the neediest and the poorest families. And so everybody feels, well, gosh, if I don't go along with this, I'm some sort of a cruel person, so I better do it. Then it goes from, you know, if they don't have a good breakfast in the morning, they're not going to do well for half the school day. Let's give them breakfast, too. Cook them lunch and breakfast. Oh, okay, we'll do it. If you don't do it, you're an evil person that wants to starve children. Mm-hmm. Now let's see what comes next. You know, when they get home, some of them parents aren't really, mom or dad's not there. You know, they don't have anything to eat. Let's have after-school dinners just to make sure they've been fed. So in the process of doing this, which took place over the course of my lifetime, over, let's say, you know, at the age of 63, I'd say this started when I was a little child or somewhere. Right? So over the last, say, 60 years, this has evolved into a dismissal and erosion of parental responsibility into the school having more authority. Now, when you say, okay, when you lose responsibility, what else do you lose? Authority.
Mm-hmm.
And when you add all these things up, it's a decay process that's quite disturbing. And look at, from just in my lifetime, the percentage of intact family with a traditional mother and father at the home for children has eroded to all kinds of family structures of all different types without a defining norm. There's nothing, you know, if you ask today, what's the norm? You're not even allowed to define the norm publicly, or you're going to get cancel culture.
Mm-hmm.
So this has been going on through my lifetime. And but you see, it happens slowly. If we would have, in 1965, said, you know what, schools are just going to take care of kids and feed them all three meals a day, there would have been an uprising.
Right.
They would have said, no, you're not. You're not going to feed my, you know.
Yeah.
Not going to happen. Or if you would have said, look, family structures, it doesn't matter if there's two parents, one parent. It doesn't matter, you know. And none of the things we allowed, if we had said that in the mid-60s, early 70s, there would have been an uprising. People would say, no, you're not going to destroy the family unit in America. You're not going to do that. Well, we have. But we've done it very slowly.
Mm.
And we've done it very gradually. And so as a result, and the school systems have been used as the agent of change for that.
Yeah, and you have the gradual growth of the federal government becoming the de facto dad to all these single mothers who have multiple baby daddies. And, you know, the federal government is basically sponsoring them.
Yeah, and we had a president, three or four presidents ago, Bill Clinton. He loved being Big Daddy.
Well, and if you look at it from the other side, I mean, yeah, you're right. We lose, the parents lose authority over their kids because the school is accountable to them. But look at the other side from the human life standpoint. You know, it's hard for an organization to really value humans the way that a family can value a human. And if you look at older cultures, if you know your history and you go back all the way back to ancient Greece, which we hold the Greeks in high esteem. I hold many of these Greek ideals in high esteem. But look at the Spartans. They're pulling their kids at 7 years old for military service. Everybody has to eat in the dining halls of the cities. They're not eating at home. And that's because if you're feeding the people, then you're really in charge of them.
Mm-hmm.
But look what they're doing to their infants. They leave them on a hill in the middle of the night when they're born. And if they make it, great. They'll be good for the society. And if they don't, well, that's good too, because then the society can prosper without them. So, you know, you end up eroding both sides when you take the family away.
You're absolutely right. And look, community, the strength of a community is based on intact families acting responsibly, playing by the rules, raising their kids with standards so that the kids can fit in and mainstream into the community, be productive. And states and the whole country are based on, you know, communities being strong. Well, when you erode and break down the family, you're breaking down the foundation of the country.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what we have systematically watched happen now in my lifetime. And it's been very slow, very gradual. And if you want to stray from it, if you want to deny it, if you want to return to something different, the left will be down your throat with guilt, name calling. You're a baby killer. You want to starve people. You want people to die of COVID, whatever it is. I mean, they just come at you with all this stuff. When the truth is, they want to keep expanding the model.
Yeah, and there is a blowback. I think we're seeing a huge increase in charter schools, private schools, homeschooling. You know, I think COVID surprisingly had a very negative effect to the liberal establishment because, you know, parents started to see on these Zoom calls what their teachers were actually teaching their students. And so we're getting kind of this blowback where, you know, the rates of growth of these alternative education is just skyrocketing.
Oh, and they caught on to the CRT. You know, critical race theory. They caught on how dangerous that is. And as you guys mentioned earlier in the show, you know, teachers who are teaching their own personal political agendas, you know, you find out all of a sudden, you know, the teacher, Mrs. Smith, is really kind of Chrissy the commie, and she's telling all the kids this in class and, you know, feeding them propaganda. This is what takes place. So when you introduce COVID into the mix, when you introduce the video structure into the mix, and this is being seen and noticed, it's blown the lid off a lot of places.
So, Joe, I want to ask your opinion about recently the Attorney General Merrick Garland sued Texas, a civil lawsuit, over the Texas Heartbeat Act, also known as SB 8. And I just wanted to get your feelings on this because it's a novel act. You know, it was well written.
Well, I think it's a good law. It's in place, but it's also challenging something that the Supreme Court has never ruled on. The Supreme Court has never determined at what point does human life start?
Right.
And this is going to, I think, at the end of the day, force that to have happen because the left does not want that to take place.
Right.
They don't want that to take place because once you define if life starts at some point, and the Supreme Court may decide life starts 6 weeks, life started 8 weeks, or whatever. That wouldn't be, let's say, for those of us from strong religious traditions, sufficient enough when you believe it starts at conception. But it's better to say 6 weeks than 9 months.
Right.
And so what they're scared of is they basically have a blank check on this issue right now. This is going to start calling for some accountability and making some changes. They don't want that at all costs. They absolutely do not want that. So this is scaring the bejesus out of them. Now, why the Attorney General of the United States is spending time and resources on this rather than prosecuting people who are drug lords who are coming into this country as mules with fentanyl and human trafficking is beyond me. Why that is more important than to spend time on the other.
Right.
So those are, I guess I hope I've answered your question.
So, you know, what can we do about it? I mean, it sounds like, you know, if you look at some of these local school councils, you know, parents are fighting back. And, you know, you have some of these local county councils, city councils. There was one mayor who told the school council they had to resign because they found pornography and he would charge them for, I don't know if it was in Ohio or New York, but, you know, he basically said, I've spoken to a judge and she agrees, you know, resign now or you will be charged. I mean, it's gotten that bad. And, you know, there is some ways that we can, you know, maybe on a positive note, fight back.
I think that's a good start. I think holding people accountable at every level of government is one. I think term limits is another one's got to happen. And I think three, the ultimate for society is we must return to parents being in charge of their kids.
Yeah.
Until that happens, we are going to continue down this road.
Yeah. Well, Joe,
that's just the basics. Gentlemen, I'm going to get off the air, but thanks for being there and for conducting, you know, great discussion so far this morning. And I'll be listening in for the last segment. So you guys have a great weekend.
Awesome. Hey, thanks so Joe. Much. Thanks for calling in.
Take care, gentlemen. Bye.
Adios.
And on line two, we have our very own Doug Rankin from the front line. Doug, good morning.
Good morning. Take me just a second to pull over here so I can go through my material.
Awesome.
I'm helping out a client up in Lee County with some construction issues. But anyway, and work. There's no rest for the wicked. Anyway, of course, you know all us attorneys are wicked. Not just kidding. Anyway, if you don't have a sense of humor, I'll tell you, as an elder care attorney, you will die young and unhappy.
Mm.
And I've got all sorts of things going on. Of course, we've got them trying to recreate or keep in the news January 6th and bury all the riots of last year by this fake thing going on in Washington, D.C. And now it's not that the Trump supporters will attack the government, which they never did. It'll be now that they'll be attacked by Antifa or somebody like that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the real problem. Well, sounds to me like Antifa's the problem, don't you?
Yeah, right.
All right, I got some other things here on our border. You know, our governor is being blamed for our COVID rates. Well, our COVID rates, about 50 to 60% of the illegal aliens who don't stay in the four border states, guess where they end up?
Florida.
And they are not vaccinated. They are not screened. They're just dumped here.
Mm-hmm.
And he's doing this on purpose. Now he's cut back on a life-saving drug to Florida. Thank God our governor he's complaining because that's illegal, you know, to have the President of the United States declare war on Florida and some other states. But he went out and found another company that's producing the same thing, and he's going to make up for what Biden's cutting off, because the one drug that we were getting is monopolized by the federal government, so Biden has control over that. But he doesn't have control over this other company, and the other company can't wait for a good market. So we're going to keep getting what we need, despite the best efforts of our alleged president trying to kill Americans. And it's not just the unvaccinated. I know several vaccinated people that have died recently. And the thing about them is most of those hospitals now are using the drugs they used to cure Trump in 10 days.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not working as well on these variants.
Right.
Sometimes. And so these are vaccinated people. And look at Israel. They've got 80% vaccination rate. And they've got people dying right and left.
Yep.
And so this is a problem. We need all these other drugs, too. And then just, you know, the open border, another thing on that, I don't know if you saw it, just a couple of days ago, Mexican special forces broke into one of their own jails and busted out a cartel boss.
Right.
And this was right near the American border, too. And the guy and them disappeared. And guess where they disappeared, too?
United States.
They're still trying to figure out whether all of these guys were active or retired or quit Mexican Special Forces, but it is pretty much believed that the whole government down there is corrupt and that one branch of the government would break them out no problem. In fact, when you watch the video that wasn't supposed to have gotten out and what went viral, the local police didn't give them any resistance at all.
Mm.
So this whole thing was a put-up job from day one. And, you know, that same cartel, you need to check and see how many people in Collier County alone are ODing or dying from drugs.
Mm-hmm.
And this is coming across that border and in amazing quantities. And it's this really deadly stuff that kills people. And so our citizens are dying so they can have an open border.
Yeah.
So, I've talked about Venezuela before and what their aim is not to make money selling drugs, it's to kill us.
Yeah.
And I got another one for you. The Clintons are finally going a notch down here.
Uh-oh.
As you may have heard, their attorney just got busted by Durham. We all thought Durham had died and left the country or did something. But he finally indicted this attorney who started this whole mess of Russiagate. Yeah. For lying to the FBI about the video and that this guy knew it was junk and he knew where it came from and he failed to mention all those things. Now, of course, his attorneys are coming out and saying he committed no crime, blah, blah, blah. You know, he just caused 2.5 years of disruption in the government and all this. But, of course, this ties right back to the Clintons, the root of a lot of evil. And what do you think about that?
Well, yeah, he worked for Perkins Coie, which we know is, you know, in the laps of the Clintons and the Democrats. And I honestly, if I were on that, on the prosecution side, I'd find some way to give him limited immunity and just have him sing.
Yeah,
I'm
really.
Sure he's got things to tell.
And I'll bet you a dollar, too, that I have confidence in my profession most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
Not so much the members of it, but the regulatory bodies.
Right.
And you'll notice what happened to Clinton. He got disbarred.
Yeah.
And I'll bet you this guy and a few other people in that law firm are going to join him. So at least we'll get something out of it. And also, I don't know if you've heard, but we've got senators and representatives on our side resigning because Trump is running people against them because they voted for the impeachment or sided with the AOC and all them.
Right.
And so there's been a couple of those this week, one senator and one representative. And it's not like we're going to lose the seats. Trump is pushing people. They're going to get in there and get this done.
Right.
And so that's good. Now, the other thing on the back of the border, Abbott, which is, of course, the governor of Texas, shut down border entries because the caravans were overrunning his cities.
Yeah.
He just had to do something because they just couldn't handle it. You know, they tried to. And the feds, you know, they're trying to shut down, keep it out of the news. You know, they tried to ban no-fly zone over that overpass where there's going to be soon 30,000 people.
Yeah.
In squalid conditions. And, you know, never mind who came over the border with COVID. When you stick 30,000 people under an overpass, they're all going to have COVID, scabies, all sorts of other third world diseases before it's done. Even if only a few of them had it when they came over, they're all going to have it when they leave there.
Oh, yeah.
And we just can't have this. You know, it's they're destroying America. And, of course, as I said last week, there are some Democrats now that are telling on their fellow Democrats that a lot of them are getting paid off to push for open borders and not by immigrant associations trying to help and the poor unemployed. The cartels are paying them.
Mm.
And so people selling kids and sending drugs over here to kill us are paying off Democrats to do this.
Yeah.
And, of course, we're back on the antibody treatments I talked about earlier, you know, how they're trying to restrict those.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like there's a limit of these or that there's not enough to go around.
Right.
There's plenty to go around. And they're just trying to play games with us, with lives of Floridians and Texans and other states like that. And it's so interesting that all the states that are being cut back are red states.
Yeah.
And it's just absolutely horrible. You know, I agree with Joe that there's been a deterioration. You know, in the old days, it doesn't matter which party you were. If you tried to do any of these things I just went through, you'd be in a jail somewhere.
Yeah.
And you're not
anymore. Too. Yeah, it's a shaming event.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, and by the way, there, that thing you were mentioning earlier with Dan Rather, there was one other thing about that document that was a glaring problem. Because, as you know, that's what I do. I work with documents with older people. And it was done in what's called proportional spacing.
Yeah.
And proportional spacing is where the computer changes the spacing between the words and letters to make it exactly fit so you have clean margins on both sides of the page.
Mm, right, something a typewriter can't do.
Absolutely not. That was created in mainframes in the late 80s and in personal computers in the 90s.
Yep.
Anyone who worked with documents like Rather did would have taken one glance at that document and go, this isn't from the 60s. Ain't no way. You know, this is nonsense. And but he just shut a blind eye. It was about George W. Bush's Air National Guard record in
mm-hmm.
Texas.
Yep.
And it was just obvious, absolutely, obviously fake.
Yeah.
You know, and then they even discovered it was really fake because Rather's response that, well, it was reprinted on a computer. No, it was fake to begin with. You know, and you've got all sorts of other things going on right now, you know. And everybody in this country knows Biden is incompetent and in senile. And then we got this Milley guy committing outright treason.
Yep.
You know, in the old days, if somebody had called a general on an opposing party and said, look, we're maybe thinking of attacking you, and if we do, we'll give you a heads up, somebody would have walked in the door and shot him.
Yep.
Never mind a trial, never mind any of that. That would have been the end of that, because that would have been such a breach of security. There are several, even today, you know, if you get too close to a nuclear-armed bomber, or you get in the, you try and get in the wrong control center, they will, or Area 51 or something like that, they'll just shoot you. There won't be a trial.
Yeah.
You know, and this is absolutely, and then he's saying about, he thought Trump was demented. Well, what the heck is his excuse for following Biden's orders?
Right.
And it was clearly demented. The whole plan was demented. And now it turns out we blew up a guy on our side and his seven kids.
Yeah. Yeah, an aid worker.
Yeah, for nothing. You know, and over the horizon capability is great. You can blow up stuff. Now, what do you blow up? Because you have no idea what you're shooting at.
Yeah.
Because this is, we're not talking the Soviet Union where you're aiming for a missile launcher or a radar truck or something else, hard asset. You know, you're aiming for people because there aren't any hard assets in Afghanistan except what we left behind.
Yeah.
you know, there's a joke about Afghanistan war. We destroyed the target with a $5 million missile. The trouble is the target was worth $350.
Yeah.
It's the people you're aiming for because they're the problem. And there is no difference between ISIS-K and ISIS and the Taliban and all them.
Mm-hmm.
And look at the leaders of the Taliban now. They're all these terrorists that these liberal idiots have turned loose.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. They're now on the government council in Afghanistan.
And why did we leave these prisoners behind it at Bagram? We should have taken them with us. You know, because these are bad people, and they're going to kill us. And they're going to do this internationally. We've got all these people coming across this border. And, you know, the ones that are coming through from Venezuela, a lot of them are the bad guys. They're not people looking for a better life. They're bad guys. And they could be some of these people. And within a few weeks, it's going to take them a few weeks to get those weapons and stuff over to this hemisphere. Mm-hmm. But after that, they're going to start coming across with them.
Yeah. Well, Doug, I want to ask you, in the final 2 minutes we have here, what do you think are the prospects of 2022?
Well, that depends.
Uh-huh.
They're trying to push through this voting bill, which will make elections irrelevant. If they get that through, we got a problem.
Yeah.
And we did see some of this just the other day in California. And now they probably still would have lost the recall because of all the money and people they put into that. They outspent the recall people 4-1.
Yeah.
But still, if that's out, absent that, the Democrats are finished. Right now, there's only three more Democrats in the House than there are Republicans.
Mm.
And there's only one more in the Senate. And they're getting ready to be done.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're well done. And even these Republicans that are resigning, there are people coming up behind them that have got good credentials and good backing and are not going to turn on us.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, and if this last little deal has taught the Republicans anything, I hope it has. You know, the party people, I'm not worried about. It's some of the elected people that call themselves Republicans I'm worried about.
Yeah.
It's taught them a little lesson. You can't make friends with the liberals and the media. They're going to come get you no matter what they got to do it. And you've got to stand up and say no and say, look, we'll compromise with you, but on reasonable terms.
Yeah.
Not on this nonsense.
Yeah. Well, Doug, we're coming up on the end of the show, and I want to thank you very much for calling in, and please drive safe.
Oh, I will. I'm stopped alongside the road. I'm not going to start up again until we're done. So keep the grill hot and the beer cold.
Yeah. So, Charles, you know, in the final minute or so here, you know, we're dealing with moral malaise, decay of society.
Right.
And I do want to end on a positive note. I do see some actions and reactions that people are taking that you know, like I said, in the school councils in Virginia and some of these other places, that, you know, if we act locally, we can impact this in a positive way.
Absolutely. Strengthen that family.
Yeah.
Strengthen the culture.
Yeah. And, you know, that's, you got to start with the building blocks.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's the ultimate one.
There's always hope.
Charles, I want to thank you for coming in. And I want to thank Doug for calling in, and Joe, of course. And we didn't have any callers, but to all of our listeners, I want to thank you very much. And remember to keep the grill hot and the beer cold. Thanks, all.